Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get your podcast from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Velma.
Doinks.
I was wondering if you were going to go there or not. I was going to if you didn't. I'll put it that way. So, but that's how you make a great podcast, folks. You got to be on the same page with your, with the other.
That's person. Right.
You got to kind of share a brain in some moments. So
you got to finish each other's
sandwiches.
There you go. That's exactly what I was going to say, honestly.
Yeah. There you go. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Everything that's available there in the stores is available to you at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. You can start your morning with Strange Brew each and every morning. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. I hope that you have reached out to my friend Cam Baker and said, look, just send me this flyer. So this is what you need to look at. This thing tells you everything that they can do for you. It shows you in great detail. And I'm just going to tell you, if this flyer is the example of the kind of work that they do, it's no wonder they've been so successful. And I tell you again, if you're a Mississippi State fan, you own a business, you know that you already spend money on printing. By spending that money with Pip Printing and Signs, you can become a Bulldog Initiative business, and you don't have to spend any more money than you're already spending. So give them a call today at 601-499-5216. Cam Baker will take care of you. Just tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You need to get new gear. You need to find the stuff that you're looking for with the new logos on it. It's time to replace all those old Banner M polos with the new gear. So do it today. College Corner, two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, unfortunately, it's still being remodeled. They'll be back open soon, though. I think it's next week. Let me double-check that, but I think it'll be next week we can get back into Restaurant Tyler. But between now and then, if you want to try one of Starkville's most underrated places to grab a meal, head over to Ben 612. I know everybody thinks about the Ben, and that's where all the college kids are out on the late nights and out there on the patio. And that's true, and it's a great place to go if you want to go out late. But for lunch or dinner, Ben 612 is a place that you need to discover if you haven't done so already. Great burgers, sandwiches, pizzas, and of course, they are the reason Starkville is the cheese fry capital of the world. Next time you're thinking lunch, you need to be thinking about a trip to Ben 612. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Go to PriorityOneBank.com. That's the website. You can not only learn the location nearest you, but you can also see all the services they're going to offer you to help you manage your money. It's you've done the hard work. You got the money to the bank. Let them help you from there, show you how to invest, show you how to manage your money, and show you all the financial services that are available at Priority One Bank. If you think that's just a small-town bank that's just a checking and savings account place, you're going to be very happily mistaken when you see what all they can offer you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Good to be back with you, Robbie. We missed a day last week for the 4th of July. How was the fish fry?
Oh, it was excellent.
Yeah. You sent me a picture, and I was like, That looks like the South.
Man, it was perfect, too. Like, so my dad called me the day before, and my dad was so excited about this. I presented this idea a few weeks ago, and it was kind of met with a, okay. You know, my parents were kind of like, okay, I guess we could do that. You know, and when I hear that, that usually means that it's just going to be pushed to the side. But they actually, you know, started to warm up to the idea. And my dad calls me the day before, and he was, like, pumped. he had like mapped out the whole timeline, what we're going to do. He's going to do this. I'm going to do this. You know, he's going to be frying the hush puppies and I can be prepping the fish, whatever. And like, I got there at 9:15. We were supposed to eat at noon. Mm-hmm. And we took the last piece of fish out of the bucket at like 11:58. It was like, it was perfect.
Perfect time.
So we fried, we had, I think, 18 people there.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured up about 2.5 pieces per person. And I put a little extra in there just in case. So I figured up 50 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all gone.
It's a good thing I wasn't invited because
you had 50. Four bags of fries
mm-hmm.
wiped out.
Yeah.
We did have a ton of hush puppies left. My dad maybe overthought that one. We cooked like four bags of hush puppies.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fantastic, right, as every piece of Superior catfish is.
Absolutely. Well, cool. I'm glad you had a great fourth. Hope all of you guys out there did as well. And now we're back to it. We've got 1 week to go before SEC Media Days and kind of the unofficial start of things here in the Southeastern Conference, the first year of the new look Southeastern Conference, and of course a new look for Mississippi State. But is it really a new look? And what I mean by that is this, Robbie, Mississippi State, as you know, prior to Mike Leach, was always a program that prided itself on being able to run the football. Well, this has always been a program that has run the football successfully. The lineage of outstanding tailbacks that have played here is long and distinguished. And for all the talk about Jeff Lebby and explosive offense and big passing plays, he will be the first to tell you that at its heart, what he wants to do is run the football. This offense is a running offense. If you went back and watched his interview with Greg McElroy last week, which was a really good interview, I definitely suggest that you check it out. They talk about how people have this misnomer of this offense and that it's a passing offense. It does get big passing plays, but the reason it does that is because it dominates the ground so much that you give up, you create mismatches trying to stop the run, and that's how these guys get so wide open. And we're going to have to do that thing again that we just can't get away from, it seems, but that is talking about the comparisons between this year's Mississippi State team and the teams that Lebby had at Ole Miss. And we can do Oklahoma as well, but that's where we're going to sort of focus today in terms of the running game. So, as you know, Ole Miss, those 2 years, led the SEC in rushing both years. And again, I don't think people realize that a lot of time. They think, who was the best running team in the conference 2020, 2021? People would say Georgia, Alabama. It was Ole Miss. It was Ole Miss. And they did it by committee, completely by committee, not really having a guy that dominated carries. They had four guys that year in the first year. Now, remember, that's only in 10 games with over 250 yards rushing. One of those was the quarterback. We're going to talk about that aspect a little bit, Robbie. But Jerrion Ealy, Snoop Connor, and Henry Parrish combined for, I mean, if I can just do some quick math here, right around 1,500 yards rushing, and then Corral gave them another 500 on the ground. Ealy had the most carries in that group. He had 147. Connor with 93. Parrish only 56 carries, but he averaged, you know, about 5 yards a carry. And then Corral had 112 carries. The next year, that same group comes back, and they're even better on the ground that year. That year, Ealy again leads in rushing. Connor picks up a ton more carries. He's at 130 now. Ealy at 133. Parrish at 105. And Corral with 152 carries. So between them, 260, 410, that's 520 basically plays, running plays. I mean, that's a lot of plays. Ole Miss only threw the ball 386 times in 2021 when they went, you know, 10-2 and went to the Sugar Bowl. They averaged 218 yards per game on the ground. They had two different runners, Corral and Snoop Connor, with double-digit touchdowns. They averaged right at 5 yards per carry, 4.8, basically. Just really, really impressive. And so, the thing that's worth pointing out here is that Connor, Ealy, now Parrish is still in college, so we'll see what happens with him. But Corral, none of these guys are in the NFL right now. None of these guys were first-round picks. None of these guys were All-Americans. But they fit that system really well, and the system allowed them to have big play opportunities. So think about what you know of Snoop Connor and Jerrion Ealy, Henry Parrish. You know, sort of try to pigeonhole who the state running backs are that you feel like would be those guys. Who Ealy was the lead dog, even though he didn't get that many more carries than anybody else. In your mind, who is the lead guy for this offense going into the season?
I feel like it's going to be Devon Booth.
Mm-hmm.
But that might not be the guy that is like your crucial third down back, your red zone back, the guy that's finishing possessions. I mean, that guy might be, Kevon Lee, Jeffrey Pittman maybe, Johnny Daniels. I don't know. I feel like Devon Booth, though, is going to be the guy that is your number one guy, you know, the guy that you feel good about getting the ball in his hands, being able to bust a big play for you. But it's kind of like, you know, Ole Miss use their guys differently in a lot of different situations. If you brought Snoop Connor in, you really didn't feel like you were losing a whole lot from taking Jerrion Ealy out of the ball game. And it was kind of the same thing. You know, Henry Parrish was pretty good. It's like they kind of just didn't really have a drop off. I think that's the goal of Jeff Lebby, and that's why he was looking to go out and find and possibly upgrade his talent, is to make that room more balanced, more competitive, and a room that if a guy comes out that's banged up or he's had two or three runs in a row and they need to give him a breather, you're not losing a whole lot of talent. That's what I think you're going to see with Jeff Lebby while he's here. The skill position guys and really everybody on the offense, it's going to be a pretty deep group at all those positions, deep in talent, deep in hopefully experience, guys that when you take out a first unit, you feel like you didn't lose anything. Now, there's always going to be guys that I think are going to be probably head and shoulders ahead of, you know, one guy might be head and shoulders ahead of the next guy, kind of like what we saw with an Elijah Moore or somebody like that. But for the most part, you're going to see a pretty balanced group that whenever you take that starter out of the ball game, you don't feel bad about what you're putting in.
Yeah. I think with Ealy and Booth, there's some similarities there. Now, obviously, Ealy was a five-star kid coming out of high school and had a lot more hype around him. But Booth is that explosive guy. He's the guy that you feel really good that he could take it the distance on just about any play. And I think he's a weapon in the passing game a little bit more than maybe the other guys would be. I would say that Snoop Connor and Kevon Lee are the comparison on the next one. Those are more of the move the chains, give it to him up the middle. Now, Snoop Connor had a lot of big play potential, and he broke some long runs for the Rebels that year. I mean, he averaged 5 yards a carry. He was a guy who could break those big plays, and I think Lee can be that too. Any running back can be, especially in this offense where you just the spacing allows for you to have some big holes from time to time. And then I think Daniels is Parrish. Parrish was probably the best all-around guy in that group. Yeah. He could do a little bit of everything. He was like a little bit more of your prototypical, like mid-2000s tailback, a guy who could you could see him playing out of the I formation some. And I think Daniels is a little bit more like that as well. We've made some Vic Ballard comparisons with Johnny Daniels. There's some Vic Ballard comparisons with Henry Parrish as well. He hasn't had the production that Vic Ballard has, but from a body type standpoint. Pittman's kind of the odd man out for me. I think that, you know, he'll get some carries in there. And I wonder if Pittman becomes a little bit more of what State wants to do in terms of trying to protect Blake Shapen. Because, again, with this offense, Corral, 2020, 112 carries. And the next year, 152 carries. That's 260, 270 carries in 2 years. I don't know that Blake Shapen's going to carry the ball 100-plus times this year. I could be completely wrong about that because this offense is designed to do that, but I don't know. I don't see him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's his style.
Yeah. And then maybe that's just because of the offense that he's played in. You know, you think about Gabriel these last 2 years, he carried the ball 89 times in 2022, and then last year carried it 93 times. I mean, we're only talking about a difference, you know, Corral's first year was 112. It's only talking about 20 carries, 30 carries worth of difference, but I mean, that is a difference, and I just wonder if you find 30, 40 more carries for Jeff Pittman in there. So
it is interesting, and I think you kind of touched on it whenever you're talking about this offense. You know, it kind of has the perception of, because it's high powering, it's fast paced, people get this perception that it's almost like air raid type offense, except for they air the ball down the field a little bit more. That's just not the case. This is an offense that first year at Ole Miss led the SEC in rushing, 218 yards a game. Mm-hmm. I also find it interesting. It's kind of like the numbers like line up just about everywhere for Lebby. Year two, led the SEC in rushing, 218 yards a game at Ole Miss. Goes to Oklahoma, leads the SEC in rushing with 220 yards a game his first year. And last year was, and I don't know if it's, you know, Dillon Gabriel and, you know, kind of leaning more heavily on him in 2023. I don't know if that was the case, but they did fall down a little bit in rushing, although they were the top offense in the Big 12. They were seventh in the Big 12 in rushing at 182 yards a game. So that was kind of the anomaly there, because they led the conference in passing at 325. Mm-hmm. But it's just the whole – I don't know how rampant that is that people think that. I think most people that follow the offense kind of know where Jeff Lebby stands on it. But the idea that they're not going to have a big emphasis on running the football and being good at it is just wrong. This offense is going to be built around the run game. So the people that think that the run game doesn't go hand in hand with the passing game, I got some bad news for you. I think Jeff Lebby probably disagrees with you on that.
So his first year at Oklahoma, they averaged almost 220 yards, 219.4 per game on the ground. Big part of that was Eric Gray, who was under Lebby, as far as I can tell, is the best. He's had the best single season running backs ever had. He had 1,366 yards on 213 carries. Javonte Barnes, 116 carries, 519 yards. And then Marcus Major with 56 carries for 227 yards. So it helped they had one guy that, you know, and Eric Gray is a name that, you know, college football fans remember. He was at Tennessee and then had that big final year there at Oklahoma. Really good. The next year, they dropped back, as you mentioned. They were only averaging 182 yards per game on the ground. There it is, Brian. But from a passing perspective, they were much better year two to year one under Lebby. Year one under Lebby, 254 yards per game in the air. Year two, 324 yards. So if ever you're going to say Lebby's offense was a passing offense, this would be the year that you would say it. What was the year that they had this year? They didn't have it was more of the committee thing. Gavin Sawchuk led the Sooners in rushing, 120 carries, 744 yards. Tawee Walker, 102 carries, 513 yards. Gabriel, as I mentioned before, 93 carries. Marcus Major, 78 carries. Then they had Javonte Barnes with 37 carries. And then Jackson Arnold, the true freshman, only played in seven games. And Javonte Barnes only played in seven games. I think he was injured this year. So he probably would have played a much bigger role as well. So it's interesting to me that two different schools, and I'm sure if I went back and looked at Central Florida, I would see the same thing. I just don't feel like doing it. And then the use of the committee. I mean, sometimes when you say running back by committee, it means, you know, you're thinking, like, no offense to these guys, but like Brandon Holloway and Ashton Shumpert. And it's just like, there's not one guy good enough. So you're just giving the ball to somebody and neither one of them are particularly good. Like the Connor Ely Parrish group was good all around. And these two groups at Oklahoma, these guys were all good. They were all getting good yardage. They were all making big plays. So we're going to find out where State is on this, but I think between Lee, Daniels, Pittman, and then the transfer Booth, I feel like you've got enough talent in that room that you don't have to change what you want to do offensively. And I'm going to be honest. I've you know, talking to some people around this program, I feel like this is going to be even more, maybe even more run heavy than years past for Jeff Lebby, that this is going to be a really conservative in terms of the fact that the ratio of run to pass. Now, there's still going to be plenty of big plays, and there's going to be explosiveness of the offense. But I think they are really going to be focused on the ground game year one here at Mississippi State, which is interesting to me because just 2 years ago, State threw the ball more than almost anybody in the country and definitely more than anybody in the conference. Last year, I mean, it's not like the offense had any kind of identity. Let's just be honest, right? They were just out there. I wouldn't say last year was necessarily a running offense or a passing offense. They were just playing football. This year, to make that change so quickly, and you're doing it with, you know, four new faces on the offensive line, it's very interesting to me to see how this offense is going to run, but I do expect them to run the ball a ton this first year in Starkville.
Yeah, this offense desperately needs Jeff Lebby. This program desperately needs Jeff Lebby to be Mississippi State's coach for a while.
Yeah.
Like the turnover that they've had in 3 years is just is drastic, man. Like, and I don't think that that can be overstated, I guess you could say. I feel like they desperately need to get an identity again. And they were getting it with Mike Leach. I think, you know, they were finally like becoming something again. And we can talk about the recruiting or whatever, but the identity of the team was air raid, hardworking, kind of the Mississippi State mentality was kind of back into existence there. And then you go from that to whatever last year was, and now you got a new identity on offense. And it's not the multiple thing. It's very much a identity that Jeff Lebby believes in. And I think that what they're doing on offense, the mentality that they have, that it appears like is very similar in a lot of ways inside the program to what Dan Mullen did. You need Jeff Lebby to be Dan Mullen. And not in the sense that, you know, every offseason he's up for a new job or whatever, but in the sense of everybody knew what Mississippi State was when Dan Mullen was here. And Dan Mullen was here for a decade, basically. They need that. They need Jeff Lebby to be here for a while. They need some longevity there. They need to have several recruiting classes in a row where, you know, it's Jeff Lebby's guys and you're recruiting those kind of players. They need that badly. And I like the whole mindset of this offense in that it still is that, you know, tough, physical-minded offense because Jeff Lebby – at heart he's become a quarterback whisperer, so to speak, but he's an offensive lineman. He knows the importance of an offensive lineman. And I think at Mississippi State, it's even more prevalent than anywhere else. And the offensive line is kind of the heartbeat for most teams. But at Mississippi State, it really feels that way. That's that your guys that are getting bloody and dirty in the trenches that, you know, move the chains for you. Mississippi State's been kind of known for that. I'm not going to utter the words blue collar because that's become such a
– Oh, no, don't do that.
That's become such a bad word at Mississippi State for fans. But it is kind of that, you know, lunch pail type, especially up front. And I think that Jeff Lebby kind of brings that when at the same time he brings that high-powering influence to the game too. That's what I really like about this offense is it truly is like the best of everything. You can go out there and you can – grind it out and you can wear a team down because you're running that fast tempo, but you're also, you know, you're winning up front. You can do that or you can hit the big play at any time. So that's what I really love about it. And I feel like Mississippi State needs to have this to grow and to kind of sustain for a while because there's just been so much change for this team. You cannot keep doing that. So hopefully Jeff Lebby's here for a while and this offense can kind of sit here and work for a little bit.
Five head coaches in 7 years. Is that what that is for Mississippi State? That seems almost impossible.
And you finally had found like some consistency with Dan Mullen because through all the conversations of like, is he going to Penn State? Is he going to Maryland? You know, every year there was a new school. Mm-hmm. He was here for almost a decade.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was here almost as long as Jackie Sherrill was, and he was more successful from a wins and losses standpoint. He never got the SEC West championship, but you know, he had built something here, and Mississippi State has now been kind of in the wilderness a little bit. Even with Mike Leach, it just wasn't long enough. You didn't have a coach long enough to go through even a full cycle. So I feel like they need that because there's just been so much change. It's really difficult to sustain something special when you're constantly changing. And it's kind of remarkable that throughout all that, Mississippi State's only missed a bowl game once.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more that state. I mean, consistency and just some continuity is what Mississippi State needs more than anything else. And I feel like with Jeff Lebby here as a new young coach, Mississippi State will keep his salary competitive. And I think with one thing that Kiffin has kind of shown is that Ole Miss has they got the coach that they feel is the right coach, and they've done everything that man has asked in terms of trying to you build their program the way he wants it built. If you get that kind of buy-in from your fan base, you know, you can keep a coach even when big programs come calling. So, and then Mullen had a lot of that too, I think. And then Mullen waited for what he thought at the time was the right opportunity. And I mean, I can't blame him. At that moment, Florida was, you know, a great opportunity. You I understand that. But state fans are going to have that buy-in as well. They're going to have to be willing to, you know, show up to these games. They're going to have to be willing to donate to the Bulldog Club and NIL. And that's it's tough. I get it. You know, they're asking a big commitment from you, the university is. But
yeah, because at the first sign of success from Jeff Lebby, he's going to be a hot name. That there's a lot of people that haven't wanted to take a chance on him because of the stuff with Art Briles, the connection there, obviously. But also, you know, nobody had jumped yet on taking him from offensive coordinator to head coach. He'd always been a guy that just about everybody was looking at and was an interesting possibility, but there's always a little bit of reluctance there whenever a guy hasn't been a head coach, and State made the jump. So the first sign of success from him, teams are going to come calling. It's going to be just like Dan Mullen. I mean, we keep comparing him to him. He could have a very similar, timeline as Dan Mullen. And hopefully for Mississippi State, that means he's here for a long time and he's having success. But, yeah, you're going to have to show that he can – it's the same thing with Lane Kiffin. Ole Miss showed that they will support him. He can win here. He can make a lot of money here. You can get recruits here. Ole Miss has made they've gone above and beyond, and they're making it very difficult for him to leave because they're paying him something that a lot of people aren't willing to pay him. Mm-hmm. And that might have to be Mississippi State at some point, because at places like State and Ole Miss, you just can't compete with a Tennessee, a Texas A&M, now a Texas, Oklahoma, if that job opened up, Alabama, Auburn. You can't compete with those teams from a notoriety standpoint, from a tradition standpoint. You've got to be able to do some things that other teams aren't willing to do, make it very difficult for that person to leave. So for Mississippi State, that's going to be fans buying into it. And that's even this year. It's just like what State did with Dan Mullen. State was not showing it on the field yet as far as the wins and losses. They had made up some ground. The offense looked fun, spread the fun and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were competitive with the number one team in the country in Florida. They were right on the cusp of beating LSU, other teams like that. They had not actually, shown much of anything as far as getting in the top 25 or anything like that. But Dan Mullen basically encouraged people to get behind the team, get behind the program, and State fans did. That's what's going to have to happen here with Jeff Lebby. They're going to have to pack out the stadium. They're going to have to sell it out again. They're going to have to support the Bulldog Initiative. You're going to have to get ahead of this for if things do get a little hairy, if State's winning ball games and people start calling, you make it really difficult for Jeff Lebby to say, no.
Yeah. And Mullen always talked about that. It starts with the support and then it goes from there. We'll see if State fans are up for the task, and we'll obviously, the other part of that is Jeff Lebby has to deliver, and Mullen, even though he went 5-7 in his first year, you just knew that team was a lot better. You knew that they were going to be able to do things efficiently, and they were going to be a real college football team in the very near future. We'll see if Lebby can deliver the same thing. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner this 4th of July weekend. I hope you guys enjoyed some beef on the grill. And if you didn't, well, there's always this upcoming weekend and the weekend after that. Whenever it's grilling season, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. Steaks and burgers, briskets and tri-tips, we love them all. Or, hey, if you don't want to do the cooking, go grab a steak at one of the awesome steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. There's so many, too many to list. But if you live in Mississippi, you know you live near at least one place that serves an awesome, great steak. So head over there and enjoy some beef today. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You're looking for smoked wings, for prime rib sandwiches, for pork rind nachos, as our certain rock bands that I've heard. I can't confirm or deny. Or if you're looking for something different, you need to head over to the Older Brother, one of Starkville's best new restaurants, just a fantastic place to eat. Sandwiches like you can't get anywhere else, the best French fries in town, and just a cool atmosphere. If you haven't been to the Older Brother yet, you need to check it out. You need to get in there before football season, because when football season rolls around, it's going to be tough to find a table at the Older Brother, that's for sure. Enjoy great food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or at the Older Brother in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers. Anybody can make you the sale. Who takes care of you after the sale? That's the difference that Advantage Business Systems is going to provide for you. So give them a call today if you need technology at your business, if you need a new copier, printer, computers, whatever it is. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Before you're in Davis-Wade Stadium this fall, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. Either come up here to Starkville and check them out, or visit them online at maroonandco.com. And see their incredible selection of Mississippi State gear with stuff you cannot get anywhere else, all of the logos you want. And, of course, if you want to dress like the coaches dress, they are the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative and all that gear. So, if you haven't already, check it out at Maroon & Co. MaroonandCo.com is the website. Use the promo code THUNDER15. Save 15% on all regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you're at the ball game, you need to be at Maroon & Co. MSU baseball continues to pick up some prospects, finally hitting on the mound again. Robbie, you had the story on that one. You broke that news for Mississippi State's latest commitment, a pitcher from Kentucky who, if nothing else, Robbie, he has the SEC experience that you might want to get.
Yeah, well, he broke the news. I don't deserve any credit on that at all. But
this is what I do. See, this, I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to build you up a little bit.
I don't want to deal with anybody saying, whoa, Rob didn't break the news. I don't want to deal with that. Right. Even though I didn't say it, you were the one that said it. I just don't want to deal with it.
I'm just saying.
Anyways, yeah. I really like this guy, the potential here. And it's
whose name we haven't said yet, Robbie, if you want to just go right ahead.
Sorry, Travis Smith, pitcher from Kentucky. The only thing I wish with these guys is, like, it was a sure thing that when Mississippi State was landing. And I think – Jacob Pruitt is probably the closest thing to a sure thing. He's actually had a lot of production. Travis Smith has shown glimpses, but he also has struggled at times. But I really like the potential here, and that's kind of what this is, and that's what a lot of these signees are at this point. Was a Friday starter for Kentucky, a guy that has overcome Tommy John. He had a heart surgery that he had in high school. Obviously, like I said, the UCL injury. So two major surgeries, you know, coming into college. That's a pretty big deal for a, you know, 18, 19-year-old kid at the time. He even dealt with some injuries, I think, this year as well. But it's a mid-90s fastball with some sink on it. Just if, when he's getting contact, it's going to be ground ball after ground ball. There's a lot of – you know, some of the same similarities in how he pitches to what Tyson Harden did at Mississippi State, but a lot different build with this kid. He's, you know, he's a guy that's got a lot more meat on his bones, I'll say, and a guy that could carry you for 6-7 innings. He's done that before at Kentucky. And he was a starter early in the season and really struggled. as a starter. But when he got the bullpen in SEC play, there was really only one game that he really struggled in. That was against Tennessee. He was solid, you know, in SEC play. The finding the strike zone has been a little bit of an issue. That's something that we've already seen Justin Parker help just about everybody in Mississippi State's pitching staff with since he's been here. So that could be a critical piece for him, is having a coach that helps him find the strike zone with more consistency. And if he does that, I love the potential here of a guy that can go out there and just pitch to contact and get people to just drive the ball on the ground and get ground ball after ground ball. And he can strike some guys out too, but he's a ground ball guy with the sink that he has. And that's one of the things he's talked about, is having more of a cutter. I think he's talked to Justin Parker about, you know, developing the cutter a little bit, and could be a big piece for State. Could be a starter for you on the weekend to go along with, I believe, probably Jacob Pruitt's going to be a starter and Pico Khan as well. So I like this guy a lot. Now, the elephant in the room with him is the MLB draft. Mm-hmm. He's a third-year guy, was a redshirt at Kentucky, and then 2 years. So that is a possibility for him that he could be taken in the draft. And if he goes in the top 10 rounds, as we know, he's gone. So if that happens, you're back to square one there. I feel certain they have options, but you would prefer to stick with this guy instead of having to go back to the drawing board here.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me, and bother might just be the wrong word, but I was kind of hopeful that between everything that Mississippi State has to offer as a baseball program and what you saw from Justin Parker in year one, that one pitcher that I don't have to play if he can improve this game with would have signed up. That's just a little disappointing. I like Pruitt. I like this guy, but I was hopeful that one proven commodity would have come. And you know, there's still time for that to happen. There's still, you know, it could still occur. There's still some pieces out there in the portal that you sign them up and you go, okay, that's a big piece.
And that's almost the whole class, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like Ace Reese is
he's the best guy.
Probably I think easily the best guy.
Yeah.
From a standpoint of, okay, we can absolutely see that translating. The other guys are just like we talked about, like if you could just find one more Ace Reese. Can you get one more guy that was like first team, all conference, 10, 12 home runs? No, Ace didn't have that many, but a guy that is, you know, 15 home run guy, maybe even in a power five or a really good group of five. A lot of these guys are lower level. Numbers look good, but it's just like you said, it's like, if that translates to this level, or if he does this, that's kind of what I'm looking for, is one more bat, because that's what I've been saying this whole time. The Garrick Frays and the Sawyer Reeves, Noah Sullivans, Reed Stallmans, those guys are great players for you if you have two impact bats that you also add.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Reese is one of them. So I think you are one away from that offensive and defensive lineup that you brought in being easily the best, and it's probably already the best that you've brought in as a whole since Chris Lemonis has been here, since this transfer portal thing has been out there. It's probably already there, but it's one of, if not the best, classes in the country if you're able to get one more big impact bat. And it's kind of the same thing with pitching too. Can you get one proven, like 100% this dude's going to be an ace for you pitcher? Like that's what I'm looking for. You do that, and I think this class is great. But it's still kind of waiting around for one or two. I'd like, if it ended today, if this is all you get, I still think it's an okay class. I think it's a good okay class. I wouldn't even call it like strong or solid. I think it's just okay, because there's still a couple of pieces you need to fit in here. But if you do get those pieces, I think we're talking about one of the best classes in the country. That's how close they are.
Mm-hmm.
They just got to finish here. And I think it's too early to throw in the towel on it. It's too early to call it, you know, great. I think we just need to wait and see what it is.
Yeah. And they missed out on a big piece last week in Mitchell Samford. That's a guy that you and I both might be headed to Mississippi State. He ends up at Ole Miss. And that's one, you know, guy goes to Florida, goes to Tennessee, Arkansas. You can, okay, those are top programs. Guy goes to Ole Miss and you're like, what happened? Because
yeah, how did you miss that?
How did that happen? Because that's not a program that's going anywhere.
And listen, like there were some people that got upset about you and I mentioning that they had missed on guys. They've missed on a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I think the key thing, we talked about it last week, the key thing is they've kept like hammering away at it. And that's a good sign. Is like they have missed some guys, but they've continued to search out and try to find similar players or players that are close that you can add into the mix. Because if you're just striking out on guys and giving up on it, then you're just digging yourself a hole. But I do think that they've built a solid class here, but they've certainly missed some players. I mean,
they've missed how many people are in the portal. And there's just a ton of guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they
missed on the Kyle Jones kid that went to Florida. They missed on the Root guy that went to Arkansas.
ECU.
That's right. They have missed on the kid from Samford.
Ross.
That also went to Florida, didn't he?
He did go to Florida, yeah.
So yeah, they've missed on several players.
Yeah.
But I think they need probably one more pitcher might do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's another one out there, two would be great. One more pitcher might do it. And if you can find a legit, you know, strong hitting outfielder, I think that would be great too. But they're really close. They're really close to being a great class for them, I think.
I want that. All right, then. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. It's they're just sort of in the middle right this second, right? I mean, I've seen people, this is a top five class. Well, I mean, is it a top five class just based off of, you know, some rankings? Or are we really looking at it and saying, this is the class that takes Mississippi, these players will take Mississippi State back to Omaha? Because, again, that's where I'm starting my discussions with Mississippi State baseball this year. Like, it's time to go back. All right, it's been
fun. And listen, here's another thing. I think it's still kind of up in the air based on who you get to school, who you get coming back. That's still a big thing too. You know, is David Mershon going to be back? Because if David Mershon's back, then you're pretty close to being a set lineup. You might not need another big bat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Dante Norrie comes to school, you don't need another outfielder.
Yeah.
That's your guy. It's still up in the air. There's still things that have to be, complete at this point. And that's just something that we're going to have to wait out for the next couple of weeks.
And then, of course, the MLB draft is a week from today as we're recording. It's July 14th. So we'll find out, how that's going to go for Mississippi State. We'll see. All right, tomorrow's show. I don't know what our lead topic's going to be. We'll figure it out between now and then. We do have an SEC preview tomorrow. We'll be talking about the Oklahoma Sooners for the first time. That'll be very interesting. Plus a lot more. So we'll see you tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.